Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of The Week in Hand. I hope you've all had a good week. I seem to say that every week now, so it's like my intro that I'm going to go with every week. Say hello, Joe.
Hello.
I hope you've all had a good week, and I hope you all enjoyed listening to the last week's episode with James Parkinson. We're really enjoying doing this, and we're really enjoying getting guests on. So we're organising a few more today who we're going to get on. But if you're interested and you really want to come on, you feel like you've got something to talk about, you feel like you want to come and sit down and have a talk, be sure to message us, maybe email us. We'll put it on the link on the post that I put up of this. And if you could just message us direct, you can shoot us a message and see if you want to get on. But anyway, all that aside, Joe, you ran 13.6, is it 13.2 or 13.3 miles?
13.2. 2
miles yesterday. You did the Leeds half marathon, which we did last year. Is this your third half marathon that you've done?
Fourth, fifth.
Well,
fourth
I've been fifth. Counting them, so yeah, 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 I know, yeah. I've definitely done one.
it's a bit better when you know the course, though, when you know where you are.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like bit, energy to energy tank and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
you know what you've got in front of you.
Oh, you messaged me yesterday though, saying up to mile 7's horrible. I thought that the Leeds Marathon up to about that point is horrible. There's a lot of inclines.
Oh man, I had a different time yesterday. I don't know what happened. You know when like I got up and I planned it all, going out train, yeah, get the training, gets in at 9:15. My heat starts at 9:40. I'll be there plenty of time. Walked through, walked up, got into my heat, and then set off. And I just set off, man, and I just felt horrible.
I was like, oh no,
what's going on here? This isn't right. I don't feel right.
Yeah.
My legs were proper heavy, like proper heavy. I was thirsty straight away. I was just like,
oh my gosh,
I'm thirsty. And I proper needed to piss as well. I was just right. So I was like, I know some people run off into the bushes just in first mile. So I was like, I'll just do that. I'll just go and have a piss, sort that out. And as I ran into bushes, man, I was just like, I was out of breath. I hadn't even done a mile. I was like, my heart was beating.
Really?
Like, really, you know, like when you can feel it.
Wow. Like you just sprinted a mile.
Like I'd set off too fast, but I hadn't because there were so many people. Like you couldn't set off too fast. You couldn't. Yeah, yeah. We were so busy, man. And I don't know if I set off in a different heat the other years. It seemed a lot quieter the other years. We were so busy. We were just like, I'm not running fast here.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, right, crack on. I've lost a bit of time there. Doesn't matter. Get your head down. You're doing this. You're in it now.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one way to finish
race
this.
Started,
and this is
yeah.
to get round it. And I passed the... Because, you know, they have markers, the runner markers.
Yeah.
Like the two-hour green marker. So it's like, right, if I keep with them, that's 2 hours I can do it in. And I passed them, and I was like, oh, I've got this. You know, like, I've got this. I've just passed the two-hour marker. I've already stopped for a wee. It's fine. And then it came to the first proper hill. And I was like, just getting up it, thinking, fucking hell, it's hard today, is this? I don't know what's going on with my legs. I was sweating already. Only like 3 miles in. The two-hour marker passed me.
You're
going
like,
up the hill.
Oh.
I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. I'll try and stay with her. And I couldn't. She was just going and going. I was like, oh, what? This is, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's
here?
Going on? Anyway, so I was like, run your own race. Don't worry about anything else. Just run your own race.
Get
try and enjoy it. Just get round it. Like, and it got to about mile 7, which is like the top coming back down onto the ring road. And I just clocked this guy, this Chinese guy. He was running like proper camp. You know, like,
windscreen
rifle, like, mincy, we're mincing around, man.
Mince,
and he was Chinese as well.
Running,
like, I was just like, that's crazy. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I think I only spotted him because he was mincing, but then I was like, oh, that's weird that he's Chinese and he's mincing.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, he's going at quite a good pace. He's going quite good. I'll try and stick with him. You know, like, I can't get beat by the mincing.
I'm going to lock onto him.
Like, I'm locking onto him, and I'm keeping with the mincer. Like, because we were making me giggle as well. Like,
yeah, into yourself, because you're on your own.
Yeah, so I nicknamed him Wong. In my own head.
So,
yeah, oh, Warrior Wong is who I followed round for the last 7. And I kept with him till about 12, and then he just sort of got some Yakuza mentality and just started going.
Shoop,
and
I was just got like, some more energy.
Got beat by Wong.
It's kind of saving something. He saved something and then just stepped it up a few bits.
Yeah, but I didn't feel strong at all. Like, I've run it before, I've run it in the past, and I felt strong all the way around, and this time I just didn't feel it at all. Didn't feel strong at all. Had like waves of feeling okay. And then obviously it's like such a relief when you come over the finish line, you're like, yes.
Yeah, I've done. And you stop. Yes. And it's like, all right, okay, stop.
I've done it. And my legs were like, oh, heavy. But it was the Yorkshire Vegan Festival as well. So Becky were like, we'll go to that. And I was like, yeah. Proper thirsty, man. I hadn't drunk enough at all. So they gave us, like, in your finishing pack, they gave you a little bottle of water. I just downed that. Yeah. And I was like, right, let's go to that. And she was like, I'll get you some food. She got me a hot dog. And I was like, get me some water. And the water carton were like tiny. It was like 220 mil. And I was like, oh no, I need like 2 litres.
Yeah,
I don't need that. But then looking around the festival, there wasn't anything that were like just water. It were all like juices and stuff. I was just like, I need some hydration.
Yeah, proper hydration.
Proper hydration, yeah. And we stayed there. We stayed there for about four hours. And I was like, I've not pissed yet. I've not pissed. Like, I usually piss like, you know.
So
like,
you'd weed at the start of the half marathon? And then
we'd at the start of half marathon, and then it were like 6-7 hours later, and I still hadn't pissed. And I was like, oh, and I started getting a headache. I was like, oh God, I don't feel right here.
Yeah.
But I thought of what I'd eaten a hot dog, which is proper salty.
Yeah.
It's just salt in it. And I'd eaten an ice cream, which again is just sugar and just like crap in it, basically.
Yeah.
And drunk 220 mil of water, nothing else.
So you're getting a headache. Did you say you're getting a headache?
Yeah, so I'm dehydrated. I'm like, I'm dehydrated. I need to drink. And my missus was just like, oh, I want to go to my friend's talk. It's just in here. We'll just go in here and then we'll go. And I'm like, okay. Went to this room, it was red hot. Proper red hot. And it were on essential oils, which I was going to ask you about today, actually. Because what she was saying were quite interesting. But she was like, yeah, the talk only lasts about 45 minutes. And I was like,
Oh, no. I'm so
thirsty. I can't, you know, when you're thirsty.
You have storm as well, yeah.
I had a baby on me, like that heavy. I'm just like, oh, I'm well thirsty.
Just run 30 miles.
I just run 30, my legs are killing.
Yeah.
Like, so we came out of there 45 minutes later. So we're talking about, like, how smells can set your mood.
Yeah.
And she had lots of, and like she was saying that the holistic approach to essential oils, because they can be used for massage.
Yes.
Yeah, they can be used as like an infuser.
Yeah.
Which is what you've got, is it?
Got like a diffuser. Yeah.
A diffuser, so.
It kind of turns into, I've got it at the side of my bed. So
yeah.
But I only put a certain smell on every, I've got lavender and I put that smell on every night. So it's like, and I'll go and switch it on in the room. So then right when I put my head down, there's lavender.
Yeah.
The smell of lavender, which has been diffused.
Yeah,
so it's
an
essential oil put with water.
Yeah,
and it just diffuses that, so it's like vapour.
Yeah, yeah.
So then there's the smell of lavender. So then every time I smell lavender, my body will... Now it's done it every night.
Just goes to sleep.
It just... Yeah, yeah.
Just like narcolepsy.
Yeah, yeah. Just driving, somebody's like, well, no, don't do that shit. I'm going to fall asleep.
My kryptonite. Yeah,
yeah. Lavender oil. But yeah, apparently... Yeah, well, not apparently. You tie smells... Well, you do tie smells to certain things.
Moods.
Yeah, moods.
You know, like cut grass. Grass is always a lovely smell.
Yes.
Reminds you of summer or whatever,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like, beautiful summer's day, cut grass. You know,
so like the mood enhancers.
Yeah, so if you tie a smell to something, then that becomes something that you can, I don't know, like you can use in a time of need. Say if you can't sleep or something, you've always got that kind of like trick that you can pull where you're like, well, my body, I can kind of. It's like the idea of blue light, you know what I mean? You kind of shut your blue light down an hour before bed.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say 2 hours, but you say like an hour.
Yeah.
You start to I'll now turn lights off in the house.
Yeah.
So I try to make it as dark in the house as possible. When the sun goes down, I'll make it as dark as I can in the house as possible, as opposed to like trying to turn all the lights on and keep it super light before bedtime.
Yeah.
It's the idea of tricking your body. Well, not tricking your body, but...
the routine or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was saying stuff like... because she had loads. She had loads of different like fragrances and
mints. There's loads of them. Amazing ones, yeah.
Yeah. We ended up getting one that's like... it was like a bit of a deep heat one, but you can use
like
it as...
eucalyptus-y
type.
Yeah,
eucalyptus. But she said there's ones that can help your digestion. Yeah. There's ones that could obviously help alter your mood, make you sleepy, make you awake. Like the citrusy ones are supposed
citrus
to like
ones, yeah, yeah.
sort of wake you up. Yeah. So I think I'm going to get one. Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, you want to. The thing is about diffusers, I find, is they're not like it's not like burning an incense stick. So if you burn an incense stick in a room, your smoke comes into the room and envelopes like all of the room.
Yeah.
So you can walk into a house and you can smell that there's an incense stick being burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
With a diffuser, an essential oil diffuser, I find it doesn't completely take up the whole room. It takes up a segment of the room because it's like it's vapor. So before you know it, it vaporizes to nothing.
Yeah, it just goes.
So yeah, that's why I like use it in certain areas. Like definitely, I've got a bedside cabinet and a bedside table, and it goes on there.
Yeah.
So like on my bedside table, I've got my Aura Ring, its charger. I've got my my diffuser and my and that's it basically.
Yeah. So I think there was something in it. She was obviously a salesperson for them. So it was like how much of the science is there. But I presume you got the idea from
Ben Greenfield.
But what she was saying about these essential oils, man, which is weird, which I thought was weird anyway. She was saying because the source directly from. Like, they're a fair trade company, so they're sourced directly from the farmers and from the exact, you know, exactly where they come from. It's like you can ingest them.
Yes.
So you can ingest them. And I was like, you can ingest them? She was like, yeah, the peppermint one, which is good for inflammation, as you're saying, is 1,000 times stronger than a normal peppermint tea bag. So you just put one drop in and drink it, and it's...
Yeah, I've heard this.
Peppermint brew, but she was also saying there was this other one that was like 5 mil, which was 120 quid, and it was this a special blue something it was called. And I was like, 120 quid for 5 mil?
That is expensive.
That's ridiculous.
Good essential oils are expensive.
Yeah.
Good essential oils, like, you don't want them cut down with a lot of things, you want them to be pretty much what they are. You know what I mean? In the small research I've done with it, which is listening to Ben Greenfield and going to actually look and buy my own range of essential oils.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're pretty expensive. I spent a bit of money on... we get the diffuser, but I think I spent about 50 quid on a couple of good small bottles of essential oils.
You don't need much in it, though. You only need a couple of drops, is that
what
you're saying?
A couple of drops, yeah. Fill it with water to where it tells you to, and then you just put, like, two or three drops in.
Yeah,
it's like if you've got a head cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
they tell you to put Olbasoil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. It's kind of reminiscent of that. And then you can put your head over the bowl. And,
yeah.
And
but she was saying it was good for respiratory, opening your lungs up, like
makes
the mint ones,
though,
the mint
it?
Ones, and she's saying like COPD because I've seen them in COPD patients. You know, like long term smokers get chronic obstructive lung disease.
Yeah.
Pulmonary disease, sorry. And they have them in the house, and I've seen them a few times and been like, you know, and...
it makes complete sense.
Yeah, James Dean says... Jim from...
The James Dean.
He's actually called James Dean. Yeah, Jim Dean said... They were talking in a house about a young girl not being able to sleep, and it were a job I was on. And he was like, have you tried putting a glass of water on the top shelf? And I was like,
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
What the fuck? What's that going to do? You know, but it's just like keeping that moisture.
Keeps the moisture in the room.
In the room,
how weird is that, though? Because it's so true, is that? It's like keeps moisture in the room. It's weird, is that, though, isn't it? But it's true. I've heard of stuff like that.
Yeah. So when she was saying it yesterday, because she was saying, like, obviously the massage ones set your mood as in the massage. And I had a Thai massage. And the lady came out with... what was now I know was essential oil smells.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, pick my oil. What are you on about?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and she was like, these ones are good for this and this. And I was like, bollocks.
Yeah.
No, it's a massage. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's true, isn't it? If you think about it a little bit deeper and open your mind to it a little bit, smells do really affect you.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that you can say are spiritual woo-woo type stuff. But I think there's a lot of things that will be used by people like that that are actually legit. And I think essential oils are pretty much one of them. Because if you think about the idea of an origin of an oil, it's derived from something.
Yeah,
so if
you
like a citrus oil or a cedar wood or, you know, lavender.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what we were saying. They come from something. So it's still natural.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of legitimacy behind it. But people should just try stuff like that. Like, I tried it, from listening to Ben Greenfield, I tried it, and I was like, oh, we'll see what it sounds, see what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of implemented itself into my life now. Yeah, just because of, like, it's a really good smell.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good, clean smell.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
you go over it, and you're like, and yeah, it's vaporizing, yeah. it's coming up as the vapor, and you're just like, and I'll be like,
yeah, breathe
and I'll,
it
like,
in.
Breathe
yeah.
it in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm definitely going to do it. She was also talking about, which I'm a little bit more skeptical on, but saying that, I don't know enough about it to be like, no. Reflexology and homeopathic yeah. remedies, but yeah. reflexology is all to do with, like, the manipulate the soles of your feet.
Right, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
it affects different...
I don't know much about that.
No, I don't. Apparently, your feet map your whole system, apparently. This is the basic gist of what I understand about it. Obviously, if people know about reflexology, this is going to be like, I'm going to murder this.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Your feet map your entire system, and points of your feet can trigger different points in your body.
Yeah.
So what they do is I presume it's a massage, like a foot massage, but you can feel it in different places in your body when they do it on your feet.
Mm.
And I was like, not so sure on that. You're not selling that to me. But then she was like, has anybody ever had it in the room? And, you know, there's a room full of people. And this woman put her hand up. She was like, yeah, I had stomach problems. And somebody did that to me. And it really affected it. It really worked. And I was like, no fucking way.
It's weird though, isn't it? Like,
crazy.
You got to take stuff out with a pinch of salt though. She might have told the truth, or she might
yeah,
be.
I want to talk.
Yeah, well, but not only that, you got to be. It's so hard, isn't it? There's a lot of placebo
yeah.
that gets put in place and stuff like that. Like, if somebody comes to you and say, no, honestly, this is going to really help you. No, honestly, listen, I'll show you. And they feel something, which is obviously a foot massage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, man, that's really good, really, really good. And then it feels like they've alleviated their symptoms.
Yeah, yeah.
When it might not have alleviated them, it's just made them feel like it. But man, I don't fucking know. I don't know.
That's the thing, because she said something, and I was like, yeah. She said, oh, this one's good for digestion, and because it's good for digestion, that going back to the oils, she was like, say, just because it is good for digestion, we all know the link now between gut health and brain health. So it's actually good for depression and stuff, you know, like mental health. And I was like, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But how much of it is true? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it good for digestion? Does it affect you? Or is it just...
I feel like something you would ingest is probably going to be better for your digestion.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Mm. But then, you know, Joe Rogan talks about magnesium, doesn't he? And like how you take magnesium in better through your skin.
Yeah, because it's a bigger organ. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like...
So, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and obviously, like, if you breathe stuff in, how powerful the stuff going through your lungs into your system can be. Obviously, like, any drugs or anything like that can be taken in through the breath.
Yeah.
And Wim Hof, if anybody knows who Wim Hof is, I know you do, Lee, but it's like Wim Hof talks about, like, breathing is the essential thing to, like, fix your system.
Yeah,
it's the power of life. It is, you know, it is a really, really strong component of, you know, and then you talk about, like, meditation is all down to breathing.
Yeah.
You know, you learn how to breathe first. Yoga, breathing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it was interesting, but I was sat there in absolute pain. I mean, like, I'm not going to ask any questions because I just want this.
I just want this to end.
I just want this
to
end.
I'd rather be somewhere eating loads of food, drinking loads of water, relaxing, chilling out after doing a big run.
So they were like, right, we'll go home. What time's next train? And they were like, our next train's in 20 minutes. And we were literally probably less than a mile away from the train station. I was like, I can't make that.
I'm not doing a 20-minute mile.
Yeah, literally, I was, honestly, man. I was just like, I need to stop and have a coffee. And
I'm not rushing
to get to the train station. So we sat down in centre of Leeds, and there was this busker playing. And he looked well old, but his voice was just like velvet, man, honestly. And it was sunny. I sat there with your coffee, proper just like, happy. Sing to me.
Yeah.
This is free music.
You've got your girls there. Yeah, you're chilling out. You've just worked out for the day.
Yeah.
You've got another medal to add to the cabinet.
Yeah.
Everything is golden. Everything is good. And I get to see Lee tomorrow.
I could tell Lee about this tomorrow. This guy's voice, I'll tell him about it. It's velvet.
What type of stuff was he singing?
Like Adele.
Right,
but a male version of like Adele songs and acoustic, and it was just like, oh man, he's not like, you know, like you can imagine that being terrible.
Yeah,
but he was just good. He was just good, and he were like three of them, and they kept swapping around. But he was just like obviously the daddy.
Yeah.
And then he got back, managed to make our way back, and got home. And my missus like, you need to stretch. I'm like, I cannot stretch. My legs hurt too much to stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it. And I think I was just like, I'm never ever doing a half marathon without training properly again after that. Not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
Well, I think next year it's just agreeing to do it. We know we're doing it. And we just keep the miles up and just keep running and keep going for it and keep going for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you said, would we ever do a marathon? I was like, I don't know if I could.
I don't know.
The pain that I was in at mile 30. I know, obviously we've had, marathon runners and stuff on the show, and they're probably laughing at this. And you look at, my time yesterday was how fast I could run it yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like, I could probably run it faster. I probably could on a good day.
Yeah.
I could probably shave a bit of time off that on a good day, but I knew where my fitness was as soon as I set off. I was like, oh, I'm not as fit.
I'm not ready for this.
I'm not ready.
This is going to hurt. I'm going to have words with myself internally
next time.
I think you do anyway, don't you? Even if you're feeling good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've gone out for some runs and I'm like, I feel fucking great. And I get out there and halfway around it, you're like, you start making excuses. You start thinking about things that you could do to get out of it, even whilst you're doing it. But then that's where you start building what Goggins talks about and what we talked about with many people on here. You start building your cookie jar.
Yeah.
I've been here before, man.
Yeah,
I've done this before. I'm running. All I'm doing is running the same I've run before.
Yeah.
And I did it without stopping. Yeah. And I did this and I did that. And I go out with a task me now. Like, I know that if I'm going to go out and do something, although I'm saying I ain't trained for a week, you go out with a task of like, right, okay, I'm going out today. I'm going to do a run today. Well, this is what I do with myself. Sometimes it's just for fun, but most of the time it's for a task. I'm going to try and get a fast this or a fast that, or I'm going to try and run this distance and I'm going to pace myself for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You were setting, because you've got a goal for this next one, because you're 10K is next weekend.
This Sunday coming,
and you've had a goal.
Yeah.
For it, aren't you? You want to run 50 or under 50.
Yeah.
Which you've already done technically, haven't you? Yeah. In your training.
Did it on training. It's such a shame, man. Did it on training. I did it last Sunday, but then I tweaked my Achilles and I'm like trying to heal it. And it feels like it's a little bit healed now. You know what I mean? But then I just ran out to post office today. I came out of the shop. And I'm just like, oh, I'll just run around to the post office. And I'm like, I don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
So I think it might be healed, but it's still a bit there.
It's a recent injury.
I'm just going to see how it goes. And then we'll do boxing today.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I reckon a couple of days I'll go on for a 2-mile run.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday I might go for a mile run.
Yeah.
And then get up on the Sunday. It's not my race until 1. So then get there and just run my race.
I'm
going to have my headphones in. I've had Strava telling me my splits, and I know what splits I can do, and try and save something for the last mile.
Just push it on that last mile.
And really, really open my legs up on that last mile.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a different sort of race, is that? It's a breath race, is that, innit? Your muscles aren't going to give out. It's going to be your breathing.
It's your breathing and making sure you keep it on top of where you're at and pacing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't want to just bonk and just be like, oh no, I haven't got anything. And you have to calm down. But then what I find, if I know I'm going to get under 50, is I say like I might run a 6:50 mile. And then just be like, right, well, I've got loads in the bank there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I should just be running eight-minute miles.
Yeah.
If I run 6 8-minute miles, I'm done.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
But if I run 1 mile at 6:50, another mile at 7:20, another mile at 7:40,
you're catching them.
You know what I mean? It's just like knocking everything off.
Yeah,
and then even if 1 mile, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, not that I will feel that out, but I just, that this week off's just done my head in mentally. I'm just like, oh, for God's sake. Like, you know, because.
But that's what, when you tweak something, that's all you can do. Especially
rest.
When you realise it's your Achilles and how much exercise involves.
Your Achilles. Oh, my goodness gracious me. I was just like, it's so weird. It's not the, it's the idea of like, oh, it's so weird, isn't it? Because once you take something away from you, you realise how much you want it and need
it.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, man, I were enjoying running then. And now I've just had to spend a week where I've had free time and I've not been able to use it by going for a quick run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, I don't know.
It pisses you off, man. Not training does.
Fucking crazy, man.
It does. Once you're used to training, it's like you're missing something. You're missing that, like, you've got too much energy and it's built up and you want to sweat. You just want to sweat it out.
Yeah.
I get that. I don't do jiu-jitsu. I get like, I need to do some jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it's well annoying, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Addictive.
But like, yeah, so it's good that you've done that, man. That's what it's
Yeah,
that
I got round it. I got round it, man. I knew I could do it. What I promised myself is I'd never, ever going to do it without training. The most I'd run was like five and a bit miles. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
Because you see,
well, hardcore,
it's people doing it in like Elmo costumes and Scooby-Doo costumes. You're like, what the fuck? I'm struggling around here and you're doing it in a Scooby-Doo costume.
Scooby-Doo costume.
And just the other thing that always opens my eyes up, man, which is like good. It's a good ego check. Is like the different shapes of people that are doing it.
Yes.
And the different ages of people that are getting round. And we were coming up to like mile 12. And, you're sort of a bit more dispersed at that point, but there is people around you and running it. And there were one woman that were, like, running, walking, but she was staying with me, just doing that. And I'm like, what are you doing?
How are you doing that? Yeah,
you're just sprinting, and then you're getting out of breath.
Just steady your way, love.
Just you're like, well, you're running your own race, it doesn't matter, you know. And then there were a guy... An eldest guy and a tall guy in front of me, and they weren't together, but the eldest guy, we were in the last mile, last 2 miles, and he just started to walk. He just, you know, started to walk. And the tall guy were like, come on, mate, you can do it. I'll run with you. Come on, keep going. And he set off again, and it were like, that was just like beautiful to see.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just like, ah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's like, you don't get that just running on your own. Or...
No, you did that with me last year, you know, because my knee was flared up really bad, and I was just like, oh man, my knee's killing me. And I was getting to a point where I was just like, I can't keep running on it. And then it were like, no, you can. You're like, I can keep running it. And then another like mile later, I'm like, I can't. No, you can. No, I can keep running on it.
Well, that guy had obviously mentally given up, the elderly guy, but the other guy just inspired him just to get going again. And it were like, yes.
Yeah.
But then you come over that bridge just near LGI there, and there's like people in that foil blanket, and like people start walking. You're like, you're in the last 100 metres. Why
have you got this far? And you're just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Look, you're just round corner.
It's there. You can see it.
You'd be gutted. You'd be, you know what I mean? Yeah.
In that foil blanket with medics around you.
So I'm not in a good place.
Yeah.
Not having a good time.
And people like holding on to like lampposts and stuff. You just think, yeah.
It were a nice day as well, weren't it?
Oh, it were hot, man. I was sweating. I went to wash my face afterwards and washed my face in the sink, and sweat went in my eyes, and I was like, I couldn't see. I was just like, fucking hell. This is not, you know, when your legs are like burning to shit.
Yeah.
You're just like, what am I made of? Like, we have people on here that do like marathons and stuff and find it really easy. You're just like dying afterwards, holding onto the sink, fucking blind.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But then I sent you that documentary last night.
I'm going to watch it. I didn't get a chance last night, but yes, I
Wait
need
to get
but that's funny as that,
because,
though.
Because even... Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're trying to break 2 hours.
Yeah.
They're trying to do 26.2 miles in two hours.
They've just done double what I did.
Yeah, you did
and
it in an hour 54.
Fucking
and it's like,
struggled.
Oh, my God, they've already done double that.
Yeah, they've already done double
so
that.
So they're setting, like, 450s, 430s. What the fuck? You know what I mean? What the fuck? Just constant go, 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 go.
Do you know what I found, though, man? What I thought about on my way around? I was like, if you run it faster to, like, your breath, you're going to be running for less time, so it's going to be better for your muscles. Does that make sense? Like, because it's obviously, like, the pounding on your muscles is part of how it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a pain of, like, fucking hell, repetitiveness. I've been doing this for nearly 2 hours now, but if you ran it faster, say, like, an hour and a half, you're running 20 minutes less. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's, like, to run it fast, obviously, if you can breathe through it and do it faster and you're in the right mood, it's probably easy. I don't know, I'm not saying like a two hour.
No, I get what you're saying.
But it's probably easier than to make it last longer.
Yeah, it's weird though, isn't it? Because I don't know the logistics of this, but would you burn more calories running a very fast? You know, would you burn more calories running an hour and a half 13-mile race, an hour and a half marathon, or would you burn more calories running a 2 hour half marathon?
I don't know.
Because you're running for a longer period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're taxing your body's cardiovascular system more.
And obviously you're on your feet for an extra half an hour as well. Whereas...
This is it.
Yeah, it's weird, man, because I wasn't ever out of breath.
No.
But I was in pain.
Yeah, but you was in pain.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was, like, blowing. I mean, some of the hills I were a bit like my rest rate were up.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, I predict, like, you trying to do your fast 10K.
It's going
to
be...
You'll be out. You'll be your breath.
Yeah.
You'll be thinking, right, how's my breath doing?
Yeah,
you'll be out,
doing all right. Getting just out keep of going, breath. Keep going, yeah. I think that's mindset as well. You know, like, I've told myself, you know, like, when I run last Sunday, it was like, you know, you just got to keep telling yourself that everything's okay. You're getting enough breathing in. You're breathing solid. You know, in and out constantly. You've got to keep going. There's not going to be a lack of oxygen
transpiring
with yourself while you're out. You know, but I found when I ran that 6 miles last Sunday, I couldn't have had a conversation with someone.
No, you were breathing too quickly.
So they're zones, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, like, if you can go, say me and you offer a run today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we just go for a good 3 mile run and we run at a pace where I can talk to you about what you've been doing this week and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Then that's like a certain zone. But then once you level it up to a certain point where a conversation can't be held because you've got to concentrate on actual breath.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you enter in a different zone. And then so you run your 13 mile the other day, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that wasn't the aim and you were running a 5K.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go for a time.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm not going to be running for a long period of time.
No, it's a different race, isn't it, completely?
Yeah, you know.
You find that, though, like, you find, like, the first couple of miles you pass people and, like, obviously, like, it's people just chatting to each other and you're like, fucking all right, fair enough, you know, you're just chatting away and you're obviously comfortable. And you go past somebody and they're like... You're like,
proper going for it, yeah.
Your rest rate's above 30 and you're in the first couple of miles of a half marathon. You can't keep that up.
No, they've got to find their own pace then, aren't they?
I was like, but you're not running particularly fast either. You know, you're not fit enough to do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird, but like, some people probably think that about me. Exactly.
But they'll get round it. There'll be them people that are frigging wrapped in silver blankets.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'll just give up and go. I got something else to speak to you about as well. Two other things to speak to you about. Because I have seen Endgame.
Yay!
Yeah, I've seen it. I went to see it.
Yeah, man. It
was weird. It wasn't what I expected.
The hardest thing about that, man, is that what I will say is you've not seen the whole 22 films that transpire up to it. So, like you said, you said that to me, and I'm like, oh, well, you need to watch them. Like, you haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp, have you?
I did see it.
Oh, you did?
Right, this is it. I forced myself to watch Ant-Man and Wasp because I knew somebody else said that at work. So they were like, have you seen Ant-Man and Wasp? I was like, no. They're like, oh, you need to watch that first. You can't go to watch this without watching that. And I was like, okay.
But then if you haven't watched Ant-Man either.
I watched it a while ago.
Did you?
But yes. I like it as a film. I like the franchise. I love the franchise. I just thought it didn't do it for me. It did it for me in a way, but there were certain bits which I were like, oh, what's going on here? Time travel? Oh, it's time travel.
That's the Ant-Man stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then Fat Thor, I were like, what's Thor doing? He's fat. Why is that Thor?
But that's Thor's story of, like...
He's depressed.
Yeah, all he ever wants to do is he's the superhero that can. He's not the superhero that can't.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so Thor's story is is that, and that's who he is. But then he gets to a point where he didn't, and he didn't win, and he should, you know, like he constantly had the chance to kill Thanos.
Yeah, yeah.
In Infinity Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
But didn't he? He smashed the axe into his chest.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
That's when Thanos were like, "You should have gone for the head."
Yeah,
bang,
yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
Just did what he did. Now that like the saying, that was it. What Thanos did there was obviously was intense. He killed half of the universe off.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's like the idea of like Thor basically had the chance to destroy him.
Yeah.
But didn't, so he couldn't live with himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he eventually got depressed, and even spoiler alert.
Even
him actually chopping Thanos' head off
didn't satisfy him because
he'd already still
yeah.
off.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought that was good because you were like, oh, it's over.
How mad's that? I went to watch it on the day it released, and I was like, yeah, oh, wow. Yeah. And then it was like, boom, 5 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it hit me, I was like, oh, no. He's still not all right, though, is it?
No,
you
yeah,
know what
yeah.
I mean, he might be dead, and the Infinity Stones are gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the case, is it?
Yeah,
it's,
I'll have to watch it again. I enjoyed it. I thought the end did it
like,
well.
You know, like every you know, there's three or maybe four. Three or maybe four Thor films that are out. Obviously, Thor yeah. One, three. Four, Dark World,
yeah, yeah.
yeah, and Ragnarok, and you obviously got to watch all them. And then you've got to see him in the Avenger films as well, like Age of Ultron and stuff like that. If you've watched them all, then a lot of it makes sense. But that Nico says she couldn't really get along with Fat Four, Dad Bod Four.
Yeah, I didn't expect the way it was. There was no what happened. I think in my head it was Infinity Wars was awesome. Like absolutely awesome.
Probably one of
my favourite films.
Yeah,
I'd say
incredible.
It's definitely in the top 10. And I watched Infinity Wars before I went to see it. And I was like, there's no way you can beat him. There's no way you can beat somebody who's got all that power.
Yeah, all
he's
the
a god
stones.
Technically now, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's no way you can. I wonder how they're going to do this. I wonder how they're going to do it. You know, like expecting it to be like a massive. But then the only way to do it was how it was done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like because it was a finale and they were wrapping it all up, that they were playing a lot of like the backstory stuff out as well, you know. And,
yeah.
And some of it I was like, yeah, this visually is stunning. And
it was 3 hours long as well.
Three-hour film, yeah.
It's a long film, but I didn't feel it. I've seen it twice at cinema, and it were like, there's so much going on. Like
yeah,
you said,
yeah.
There's so much backstory
yeah,
to it
yeah,
that
yeah.
you kind of like. And it is set up literally over 22 films and 11 years.
Yeah.
So to invest all your time into watching all them films and be like, wow, okay, and then you've got this and you've got that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you know as well, there's little bits and bats that they put in Endgame and Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
Especially Endgame that you're like, oh. What are they talking about? Oh, wow. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That made your hair stand on end. It's the hair stand on end
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. You're like, oh, man, as if. Or get you emotionally upset. Like, I cried a tear, man, you know, like when on certain parts of it, you know, like when I realised that Black Widow and Hawkeye went to go collect the Soul Stone, and it weren't until I was sat there. I was sat there on my own, and these two people sat next to me in this packed cinema on the Thursday it released. I didn't know who they were, and I'm just like watching it, and I was like, oh, and then it went to that place, and I was like, oh, that's it. And it just hit me, I was like, oh, man.
Oh, no.
One of them's going to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of them's got to die.
Yeah, and you didn't know who they were talking.
Oh,
that
no.
To be fair, there were some good bits in it. There were some bad bits in it, though. But that bit, what you're talking about there, was one of the best bits in the film. And you didn't know who they were talking about when they were talking to each other. And they were saying, right, it was played really well, as in, like, the scripting of it, because you were like, because Hawkeye had gone a bit bad, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So is Hawkeye talking about her, killing her, or killing himself? Or is she talking about, you know, because they're both assassins, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I'll watch it again. It was good. I'm upset that it's over. And I think there was some questionable bits in it, but obviously it's made for everyone, not just for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's made for kids and stuff as well, isn't it?
I thought there was times when, you know, like, because Thanos is so fucking such a formidable force, isn't he?
Yeah, even without the Stones.
Yeah, you know, but he's not as, you know, like, how good was it when Captain Marvel, she, you know, like, all the battle was happening, and next thing you know, all the spaceship, but, like, the big ship was, like, all the gun turrets pointed up to the sky and started firing up into space. And they were like, what's going on? You know, they could hear something, and then something's like, something's just entered the atmosphere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's fucking Captain Marvel, and she flies straight through that ship, and that ship's massive, and without her, I think they'd have been monumentally screwed.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
She just explodes this whole ship, back out again, and flies straight back through it again.
Yeah.
And then she comes flying back down again. And then she, because she comes to fight Thanos as well, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And he's like, and he realizes, he's like, oh my gosh, she's fucking really hard. Like, you know, she's tough. And then she starts bending his fingers back, doesn't she? Even when he's got the Infinity Gauntlet on, because she's got the power of the Tesseract inside of her,
which has
one of the stones. The Tesseract has the stone, one of the stones in it.
Yeah.
But she has the power of one of them inside her. So she's like, "Listen to me, man."
I know you love it, don't you?
I love it. So she's like trying to bend his fingers back, and she's trying to go for him, but then he's like, "Pink!" He kicks one of the Infinity Stones out, puts it into the power stone into his hand, and then bang, smacks her in the face. And she's just woof. And then it's not until, he gets to the point where Iron Man has to save the day, doesn't he?
Oh, man, I'm going to watch it again now. You've got me back into it. I think what I shouldn't have done is watch the first film and then go and watch the second, because it's like 5.5 hours of TV.
It's a lot, yeah, it's a lot.
I was like, by the end of it, I was like, my eyes are hurting.
Yeah.
What just happened? We're getting back in time. Yeah.
I've just got massively into it anyway. But then after consuming all the films and living a single life of just watching them all, watching them all on Amazon Prime, downloading them, or watching Doctor Strange, it was fucking well good.
You tattooed somebody with the Hulk as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so I've got like a series of tattoos that I really want to do, which is like an ode to the comic books
and the films. It's half and half,
so it's half comic book and half MCU. So it's Marvel, but half and half.
Yeah.
So I got the chance to do the Hulk the other day, and I've got an Iron Man one. I'm going to do a Thanos one on this guy.
Thanos, who's having Thanos?
Captain America.
Who's having Thanos?
Same guy. He wants me to do all of it, the whole of his leg.
All of it?
Yeah, and he just
all with that.
Yeah, all of his leg. So I'm gonna. The idea is to apply all these to the leg, and then the backdrop's gonna be comic strip. So like, all once all of them are done, and there'll be bits and bats of gaps, but the gaps will be comic book gaps. So it'll be like the old, like, you know, like. The old comic book slides in there. But also, I started following a guy, you know, our friend Dan Pello.
Yeah.
You know, he's a visual concept designer and artist and stuff. And we've spent a lot of time around him and stuff, and watching him in his workflow and how he does stuff. Mm-hmm. I started following a guy called Phil Saunders. He's just come onto Instagram. And he's the guy that's designed Iron Man's suit over the past, 5 years?
No way.
So he's the one that designed the nanotech suit. Because, like, Iron Man become...
Yeah.
Sorry for everyone here, but I love talking about this kind of stuff. But he's the one that's designed the... Ant-Man... When Tony Stark realised that Ant-Man could get inside his suit...
Yes.
And destroy him from the inside out...
Yeah.
It was like, right, well, I'm not going to have that as the suit then. I'm going to have it as a nano suit. So it's going to be nanotechnology that's just comes all around him and just builds itself onto him. So this guy, watching him put like the slides up, watching him put the stills up, which is kind of what Dan does. It's like visual designs that then get put into
An engine or something.
They get 3D rendered and visually rendered and turned into and put into the film and stuff like that.
It is the amount of artwork that goes into it.
It's incredible,
phenomenal.
Because
you know that by the... subtitles.
Yeah.
At the end.
It's just an army.
Yeah. Thousands.
Thousands of people that have just been used to make these...
graphics.
That will live forever.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the things, man, though, when you look at... We've grown up around films and you look at, like... Remember the first ever Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that was out?
Yeah.
Or something. I'm trying to think of, like, films... Or like even... I tell you what's a really good one. I seen it the other day. Someone's tagged the first fight between Thor and Hulk. And it was, you know, the Louis Ferrigno Hulk. And it's like... When it was on, like, daytime TV at dinner time, you'd watch Incredible Hulk. Yeah, it's like, oh, right. And you're like, wow, this is so shit.
Yeah.
This is so bad. Yeah, I can't believe just how bad it is. Thor's hammer's like a tiny little hammer, and he's nobody. And then you've got Hulk that's like, and it's all just like slowed down man, screen, and he's just hulking out. But then you watch the actual, watch what he's getting out, and it's just on a different level completely. Oh, yeah. And it just, it sits me in my seat. Sits me back and just makes me want to watch it because I just love stuff like that. Like,
do you think it'll...
The new Transformers, I love all that.
You'll laugh about it in like 20 years when we watch it, right?
And this is why I think we're so far on now.
That you don't?
That I don't know how better it can get.
Well, did you listen to that... what was his name? Jamie... The guy that's just been on Joe Rogan talking about...
yes, I did. What was it called?
Yeah, the Darwin... Hacking Darwin's book. Hacking Darwin, his book's called, isn't it? Jamie Welch or something like that.
He's had a few good people on recently.
My God, I listened to that man and I was like, it made me gulp.
Yeah, because
I was like, what the fuck is going to go on in the future?
Man, I think we're living in a scary time, you know, with the turn of robotics and how they're going to take over. And it's like for Elon Musk to turn around and say, that's what scares him the most.
Yeah, you know, AI.
Put his keys on the table and said, that's what scares me the most.
Yeah.
And if we don't control that, then we'll lose control of everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, because what was it they were talking over there? They were talking about, apparently a robot has been, this is what Jamie brought up.
Playing chess game.
No, a robot pleaded at one point, a robot pleaded with its owner to not be turned off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wait until like they become emotionally attached to the point where they're like, "Oh, please don't turn me off."
Yeah,
you know, I'll just be quiet. I'll just go into another room. You don't switch me off. It's like, no, I'm turning you off now. I don't need you on. Like, it's like, no, please.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what about to the point where it starts scheming?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it kills you.
You won't watch Person of Interest, will you?
What's that? Person of Interest is
cheesy. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the underlying week-to-week episodes are cheesy as, right? What's the guy that did the Batmans with Christian Bale? It's his brother. The director of the Christian Bale Batmans. What's he called?
Oh, my gosh. That's completely escaped my mind.
Yeah, it's going to annoy me, is that? But anyway, Person of Interest is about AI. And it's about you are being watched by an AI, basically. And this AI, because it can see everything, can predict acts of violence, can predict murders, a bit like, almost a bit like Minority Report in a way.
Yeah.
But it's about the guy who's invented the AI that can do it.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan. Yeah,
Christopher Nolan's brother who directs it. And it's a little bit like Batman. It's a little bit like Batman because you've got the AI feeding information to the team and the team have to go and then stop the stuff in the real world. But what happens is it shows him inventing the AI and the AI is trying to get out of the room. It's trying to like use the internet to get out. You know, and he has to like turn it off and like burn it down, and like it's all that sort of stuff. But the story gets so complex because it can see, you know, the different possible. Like a computer can see, you can work out the different possibilities.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Whereas we can only like sort of predict three possibilities. A computer can predict like 100 different possibilities all within a second. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like it can work stuff out faster than what we can. It shows one episode of them acting out all the different possibilities, but it's all done within like a second. So it shows like how many different variables there is to like certain situations. But it's an artificial intelligence. But what happens, spoiler alert again, is that another artificial intelligence is born. So there's two artificial intelligences and they're battling against each other, but one of them's like has ethics and has had ethics installed in its programming initially, so it's like wants the best for humans, and the other one's just an AI. It just is a power, a god.
Yeah,
as such, they become gods basically because they're so.
What's it called?
Person of Interest.
Is that at the cinema or is it?
No, it's a series. It's like six or seven series in, but week to week, it's cheesy as fuck. But when you keep with it and you learn the story between everybody and what it does. They put like torture devices of they put them into simulations and stuff, so they just they just try and work the simulation over and over and over and over. It's mental,
man.
Yeah,
sounds so good.
It's futuristic, but it's definitely worth watching if you're into sort of artificial intelligence and the possibilities behind it and what it could do.
Oh, man, massively. I think that it's amazing how far we've come and how fast. And I think even we sat in this room talking about this don't realise how far it's actually come.
No, no.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's the thing about that. You listen to these people that come on Rogan and you realise that, oh, man, I didn't realise they were that far forward.
But
then also now, take yourself out and put yourself in, like, Boston Dynamics, in a room in Boston, in the hub of Boston Dynamics, and you'd probably be like, what the fuck? Whoa, you've got this and you've got that and it does this and it does that.
The hacking Darwinism, we were talking about, we were basically talking about, you know, like IVF and being like able to like reproduce, like, because obviously he was saying that there's millions of sperm to every male, but then there's only so many eggs to a female. But what you can do is with stem cells, you can take the eggs and recreate thousands of eggs of the same egg. So therefore you'll have a bigger selection of embryos, so you could grow the embryo and look at them and be like, which one's going to be the
and
tallest?
You could select, oh my goodness gracious me,
which one's going to be?
And then they were talking about we'll become too picky as humans, and eventually, won't you become like?
Yeah, well, he was saying he thinks that sex isn't going to be used for reproduction.
Yes.
It's going to be looked at as
just a pleasure thing that you
just
do.
A pleasure thing, and it's going to be looked as dangerous if you use it for reproduction because there's no
because you don't get to choose. You just it's a throw of the dice.
Yeah. What the fuck? Honestly, yeah, I know.
It's like, scary.
Man, I haven't finished that podcast yet, but it's just been, there's been moments in it where I'm like, I've just been like gulping, like, oh God, yeah, that's probably is where it's going to go.
There's been a few good people on recently, like Friedman as well. And
He has had some great. So the other thing I was going to ask you about, and I don't know if you've seen it, have you seen Thug Rose?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. Good, thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah,
yes,
UFC. So what's your take?
How fucking good did she look?
She were winning.
Oh, my God, she were winning. I can't believe how good Rose looked. She had 13 months, I think, out from the last fight. And oh, man, I thought she looked absolutely incredible. Her jab was unbelievable. Her movement was incredible. Trevor Whitman's an incredible coach, and you can see how much she developed, even in that year that she's had off.
Yeah.
You know, like, stepping off, you know, hook and then pivoting out from the hook.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Andrade had nothing for her, I don't think.
No.
And even when she was going to take her down, there wasn't much there. I think Rose had a number. Rose could beat that girl.
Did you think it was illegal?
No,
did
I don't think it was.
Spiked?
No, because she was, there's a few different versions of looking at it. I think it's because she was going for submission. She went for a submission when she were up at Shadow in a Kimura, didn't she? And she was trying to freak her out with a Kimura, and then she went to go and do it again. And I think every time she went to go and pick her up, did Jessica, she was threatening her with a Kimura. And it was like, right, well, if you're going to threaten me, I'm just going to slam you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she had picked her up, and as soon as she started threatening her with a Kimura, you know, she just went to go and put her down. She went to bring her down to the ground to Jessica.
Yeah.
Like, if Rose hadn't have been going for that Kimura and just switched it up and just went to her back, then she would have fallen on her back. But she didn't. She was going to try and get a submission. So Jessica brought her down and she ended up bringing her onto her head. It looked gnarly as fuck, man.
I had a different take on it. I know what you're saying. Because she did go for the Kimura in the first one.
Someone's like, if you pick someone up, to slam him down, which is, that's what she was going for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, Cormier does it loads.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. She did have that Kimura is...
I think Rose put herself in that position by going for the Kimura.
Possibly. She possibly could... This is it, man, because I don't think she... There's no way she could have finished a Kimura up in the air like that.
No, I think she was threatening it, though, weren't she? So I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? She was threatening it. I think there's
she was
so
threatening
many...
it the first time. Watch it again, man. Like, I've only watched it once. Well, I've watched it twice because I just rewound just to have a look at it. She was threatening it the first time when she picked her up and she slammed her down. And she was threatening it, but she was carried about a bit then. It was like she was up in the air for quite a while. It was like, what's going on here? But she looked like the difference in body size and body you know, it was like obvious that she was more powerful, Jessica.
Yeah.
But Rose was technically better on the feet. And the first time she did have that Kimura, and she kept hold of it and she got slammed and then the round ended or whatever. But the second time, I thought she got spiked. I thought the way Jessica turned her as she's throwing a deck, because obviously if you spike somebody, basically you're manipulating them to go down on the head in midair, aren't you?
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like if I pick you up
and you're going to bang.
So if I pick you up and chuck you, I can basically chuck you to where I want you to land.
Yeah,
can't I?
Yeah.
I can like chuck you back onto your feet. I can chuck you onto your back.
Yeah.
But if I turn your legs up,
then you're going to throw me onto my head.
You're going to be onto your head. And honestly, like the way it looked to me was, it she turned her up. And it looked like she spiked her. It looked like she slammed her down on it. That's what it looked like. But a lot of people agree with what you're saying, obviously, because it wasn't illegal.
Yeah, I just watched it. I watched it a few times, and I just felt like she. I don't know, man. Maybe I weren't seeing it properly either. But look back at it again. I just think that she was. I think every time she went to go pick her up to scare her, she was going for a submission.
Yeah, I think you got to remember that. That's the other thing that you've got to remember. Which brings it back to down to why UFC and MMA is a sport, and obviously, like, definitely with BJJ, is the fact that you can just get spiked on your head in loads of places. Like,
yeah.
If you're going for a triangle,
that's it, man.
They can just pick you up, like, you know, Pride rules,
yeah.
When, like, Quinton Rampage, and they just get going for a triangle, and you just pick them up. Yeah. Right above the head,
yeah.
Slam them down. Do you know
or
what I mean?
Even grab them from behind and suplex them.
Onto
you know
the
what
head.
I mean? Onto
yeah.
the head. So you grab somebody around their waist from behind, put your head to the side of their body, and
yeah.
then just go backwards like
yeah,
a suplex,
yeah.
and you can land them back on the head. I know, like that'll go forward because they're landing on the back of the neck.
Yeah,
but still, like
super
sweet
dangerous.
Baby Jesus, it's dangerous. But man, yeah. you know it's. It's a weird thing because it's weird how many fine lines there are.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
fighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially MMA. You know, the rules have to be there.
It's a sport.
Yeah, it's because it's a sport, but there's so many fine lines in there. There's so
yeah.
many, like, yeah, you can't do that, but you can do that. So in the middle of a fight, when your heart rate's up and you're fighting for your life,
yeah, yeah.
Jessica had to think to herself, right, I've gone to pick her up here, I'm picking her up. Oh, no, but I can't do that. Can I? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah,
like...
Yeah, the rules are there to protect
it's
fighters,
it's just a shame
aren't they?
It ended that way.
I was gutted it ended that way, because she wasn't going to win. And she celebrated like she meant to do that.
Yeah.
Right, so celebrated like she'd won, as
yeah.
in, like, I've just knocked you out. And to me, it's like, if you slam somebody down, you don't ever really mean to knock them out
no.
unless you're going to spike them.
No, exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's like, obviously, you've won, technically, but really, you haven't submitted her. You haven't knocked her out. You've spiked her.
It's weird, isn't it?
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's weird, though, because she couldn't continue, could she?
Oh, no, you can't.
She
no,
went
she's,
out, weren't she?
She's
so then
been
who
knocked
wins?
Out. Technical knockout. It's a technical knockout.
It's a win, isn't it? Yeah. But then you're saying, obviously, is it illegal then?
Yeah. You don't want, like, if I won like that, I'd be like, oh, that's not a, oops.
I've just slammed you on your head and you've knocked you
Sorry.
Out.
Do you know what I mean? But she's
yeah.
on top of cage, yeah.
I know.
Like, I'm the champion.
I'm
like,
the champ. I think she needs to calm down anyway, because she, you know, she obviously couldn't beat Joanna and Jacek, and Rose beat Joanna twice. Technically, Rose is a way better fighter than Jessica Andrade.
Yeah, yeah.
And she showed it. She just... I messed up with her face after only one round.
I know.
She just kept
it. That was a shame about it, weren't it?
Yeah,
is that the fact
man.
That it was just a fluke knockout? Like, there is obviously that does happen in sports. Fluke things do happen. But I just thought the way she celebrated was like she meant to do that, for one. And two, it's like, if that has happened like that, you haven't really won. You haven't
yeah.
really won. You've just... It's just a fluke knockout. That's all it is.
Yeah, but technically,
as
one, you know,
and,
it's such a shame.
I'm surprised there wasn't more backlash in being like that was illegal. I well thought that was legal. It looked to me, it looked illegal. It looked well illegal, but everybody has a different perspective on it. But there was also the Anderson Silva fight, weren't there?
Yeah, man, them inside leg kicks. He's too old now, I think. He's just like...
What
I know, I think he tore his ACL.
Has he?
Yeah, I think that's the medical reports come back and said that tore his ACL.
Oh,
man,
right.
If you get kicked
Fair
on
enough.
The inside, but then again, that Jared Cannonier is a big dude, isn't he?
Oh, mate,
imagine
well
him just
earth.
Full on, and he turned his hip into that as well. When you watch, I watched that replay a couple of times.
Yeah,
I was watching it on Sunday morning, and he proper turned his hip into it. Did Jared Cannon here?
Yeah, yeah.
And wow, yeah. Like imagine getting an inside leg kicks hurt anyway, but right on the joint.
Yeah. He's twisted his knee so
just
much.
Destroyed
like
his knee. But he kept doing it a few times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Keith Johnson's knee a few times. People are like, he looked really good. Yeah, he looked all right. Yeah. Anderson should stop fighting now.
Yeah, I think it, people are scared of him from what he was, I think. I mean, I felt like once that had happened, I felt exactly the same. I was like, that guy needs to probably stop now.
Yeah,
and BJ Penn fought as well, didn't he?
I know, he got beat the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Anderson Silva's 44. Like, you know, if you're still fighting because you need money, it's a bit ridiculous. What have you done through your life, mate? You were the top draw.
Yeah, he doesn't need money.
You should be completely...
Anderson Silva
yeah.
doesn't need money.
No.
He's doing it because he can't stop. He's got that.
Yeah.
He should retire.
No, you know what I mean, man. I love it, you know. It's like, man, you need to stop fighting now, man.
Just fighting
you're
too many killers.
You're destroying your legacy.
Yeah. If he could maybe get down a weight class, which I don't think he can because I think he's massive, then maybe there's a few fights in a lower weight class for him that would be okay. But just now he's just got killer after killer after killer coming for him because it's a name.
Because it's Anderson Silva.
Yeah, it's a
you
name
I mean?
As well, isn't it?
And if Jared Cannonier is beating you... By yeah. kicking your inside leg.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like... But then again, you just fought Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
And then you went three rounds with Israel.
Yeah, but...
Three rounds, yeah,
yeah,
three rounds.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it?
A bit too much respect there, though, I think, from Israel.
Yeah.
Israel beat him, but there were a bit too much respect there from Israel.
Yeah, that's what happened, weren't it?
Because he's getting chinny as well, is Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Michael Bisping said, didn't he? He's like, time to retire now, mate. He came out and he was like, look, you know... I think you should definitely be looking to retire now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a shame, isn't it, that people keep fighting. You know, it's like you should, you know, when and then when you get there's a Francis Ducournoy. He's only a young fighter, bantamweight, really hot prospect from France.
Right.
And he's just retired from MMA. And he's a really hot prospect, but he's just like, I'd rather put my mind into other parts of my career, you know. And it's kind of like you've always got to have a backup plan. You can't just be a fighter,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be a fighter for a certain period of time, and then be like, right, well, I've got to save my body as well because I'm
so bad for your
body.
Yeah,
you can't just keep having fights all the time. You know what I mean?
They always say that, don't they? It's like you don't realize how bad it is for your body. You know, like there's a very fine line between obviously the training that's all good for you and getting strong and mentally focused, and then you're getting beat up and it's destroying your body.
Yeah,
and like a lot of people don't come out of the UFC with no permanent sort of
injuries. They come out permanently. You know, like especially if you're especially broken bones and stuff like that. And Anderson Silva snapped his freaking shin.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he broke both bones, didn't he?
It's the same leg as well. That leg's been beat up.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was the same. I don't know, actually. Because I'd seen first that he'd been stopped due to an injury to his leg, and I was like, for God's sake, what's happened to him?
Silva.
What's going on? And then you watch it, and it's like, oh.
Oh. Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It looked like a heavy leg. It looked like how I'd go down if somebody kicked me in the leg like
how
that.
Any normal human would go down if Jared Cannonier full on kicked the inside
like,
of your leg.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Oh, I was like, that's what I do. Yeah, you can't be fighting in the UFC if you're doing what I do. But I didn't know he'd snapped his ligament.
And he was full on screaming, weren't he, on floor again? Like,
it's not good to see.
But there were, what else were there? I'm sure there was another fight.
They're the only ones I've seen. The Clay Guida. Who was it that fought?
Jose Aldo fought. Yeah, did you watch that fight?
No. Was it a good fight?
Yeah, it was all right. He just really needed to. He's so good. He just didn't look like he turned up for it. It's such a shame. Like, he was there, but he wasn't. Alexander Volkanovski just outworked Jose Aldo, and it was just such a shame because Jose is an absolute beast, and he could have done without that loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Another win, right, and it's really pushing him towards title, whereas now Alexander Volkanovski is kind of making a statement to the point where it's like, right, he's ready for a title shot at featherweight.
Yeah, yeah, I think he is.
With Max Holloway.
Yeah.
But
so Max is going back down then, definitely.
Yeah, I think he's got to, hasn't he? Yeah, he got beat up by Dustin Poirier, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got to. I tell you what, a good fight that has been arranged is Tony Ferguson and Donald Cerrone in a month.
I know, yeah, that's going to be well good.
I think it's a fast turnaround for Donald.
Yeah, I know, that's...
And it's a hard fight for Donald.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a really hard fight. They've got, on 19th of May, which is this Sunday coming, we've got Rafael Dos Anjos versus Kevin Lee.
Oh, that'll be a good fight. I think Kevin... Oh, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, there's not... Megan Anderson's fighting again. There's not too many of the top names fighting. But it's the week after you've got Alexander Gustafsson versus Anthony Smith.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight. I think I've got a feeling Alexander Gustafsson will win that. But the number one contender in it, the Donald Cerrone Ferguson, he's the number one contender fight. So whoever wins that gets to fight the winner of Khabib and Poirier.
And Poirier, yeah.
Which, that means there's a chance that Khabib and Ferguson might get remade.
Oh, they need to fight each other, don't they?
Yeah.
They need to fight each other.
But saying that, and honestly, this is my heart talking now, I want Cerrone to win. Because I want Cerrone to fight for a title.
Yeah.
Just from who he is. And he's coming to the end of his career.
Can you see him winning that,
I don't know, he's been on an absolute rampage at the moment, and he's training with Joe Schilling, isn't he? So it's just like his stand-up seems to have gone to a different level. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's really sneakily gone up.
He hasn't lost since he had his little boy as well, Danger. But it's just like,
oh,
I don't know. I just think Tony Ferguson's he's just a beast, isn't he?
Imagine that, though, to get to the title now, he's got to go through Tony Ferguson and probably Khabib.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard.
I'm excited to see the return of Khabib.
Yeah.
Because it's been a short while now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Obviously got suspended and stuff. Yeah, but yeah. Now he's pushed Conor to one side. It's like, I'm excited to see him come back and see what actually becomes of him, you know, because he is destined for sheer greatness. And I think if he beats Tony Ferguson...
He's done it.
Obviously beats Poirier and then beats Ferguson, then he can just retire, can't he? Because it's like, oh, listen, I destroyed that division.
Yeah.
And if he goes undefeated as well, and he just knows, and he goes about the fact that he just mauls people. Did you see how his training partner fights as well. His training partner fights like him, how they trap the legs. Islam Makhachev, he does the same thing where, you know, like, he'll take him down, start smothering him, and then he'll grab the legs between his legs,
yeah,
and, like, tie them up and push him up against the cage, and they just get mauled, don't they? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know.
It's a really specific way of tying somebody up so they can't stand up.
Yes.
Because they haven't got the leg, they haven't got the base, they haven't got the hips.
Yeah, and then they're trying to get out of it, and then they're getting hit in the face, so they're trying to get the base back down again, and then,
I would prefer to see Ferguson Khabib. I would prefer to see that, because I think that would be an amazing fight. However, my heart wants Cerrone to win this next fight. Do you know what I mean? And like, I just feel for the guy. I think he can do it. But Tony Ferguson is such a hard fight for anybody.
Oh, my God. He's just such a hard fight. And he's just gone through some stuff as well. And I think he's even more now removed from his knee injury. So he'll feel better on his knee.
I think Cerrone will target it. Really.
Straight for that knee. Leg kicks. Boom.
Leg kick the shit out of...
I don't know if he's ready for Tony Ferguson's heat, man.
I don't know, though. You know, like, he's fought... He's fought some good fights in his last few fights as Cerrone, and that's what I mean. I think he's secretly like upped his game because he's been doing so much kickboxing with Joe Schilling. I think his kickboxing's like gone to, like, obviously it was world class anyway, but now it's like glory sort of level kickboxing. Do you know what I mean?
He's so good, isn't he?
I want Cerrone to do it, man. I do. My heart's with Cerrone. I'm going with Cerrone, but...
Do you think you will? I don't know.
I don't know. It's such a... Honestly, I got well excited when I
know.
The one thing that was... I was a little bit like, ooh. I was like, it's a bit close to his last fight, that.
Cerrone's.
Not, yeah. He's not had like much though, time, downtime. Like but I'm backing him. I'm a Cerrone fanboy, and I want him to do this.
I think he secretly, in the back of his head, he's got like a contingency plan for the last moments of his career. I think he's like at the point now where he's ready to finish, and I think he's like, right, he's probably sat down with his wife and his missus. He's been sat down and he's been like, right, I'm going to try and get as many fights as I can.
Yeah.
And then he started going on this winning streak since he had his son.
Yeah.
So now he's done the Cerrone thing of like, well, I've just beat Eli Quinter. You know, I beat that guy up.
Yeah.
Give me someone else straight away. Let's go.
Well, he said he wasn't going to... He's made some bad choices by doing that, though, didn't he? And then he said, I'm not going to take like less than top 10 guys. And then he's like, right now, top 5.
Yeah.
And then he beat Eli Quinter, who was... It was top three.
So now he's up to like I think he's at number 5 now in the rankings.
Yeah, so he's making a title run, and this puts him in number one contender spot if he can beat Ferguson. I'm excited for that, man. He's going to be coming with everything he's got.
Yeah, he is. He definitely
because
is,
because he's got nothing to lose now.
No.
Because if he loses, he's probably going to retire.
Yeah, if he loses, it's time to retire, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, right, I'll fight for this, and if I get to beat, oh man.
I saw a picture of him wakeboarding with his cowboy hat on, and he's like upside down holding his cowboy hat. Like, so wakeboard's above him. Do you know, like, he's gone upside down.
What
and he's holding his hat on his head. I was like, what a guy. That guy is. He's amazing.
He's an absolute animal, isn't he? He's so amazing, man. I absolutely love that guy. I think he's just like one of them people that you see and you just kind of admire because you're just not him. You wish you were him. You know?
Yeah,
you're like, oh, he fucking does everything that I'm too scared to do.
He's
like,
just cool, isn't he? He's just a cool guy.
He's had a career in fighting and been super successful. You know,
yeah.
And he just fucking he deep sea dives. He frigging you know, like
he's
some
got
stuff,
his own ranch.
Got his own ranch and all
he's
that kind of stuff.
Got his own barn with all his training facility there.
Yeah, and then have you seen the thing he did for ESPN? He's got like a. He's got that, which is the BMF ranch, the bad motherfucking ranch. Bad motherfuckers ranch. And then so the people go up there to train.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they've got their own dorms there, really smart dorms where they just like rooms where they go and sleep and chill.
Stop
and
in there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So people that come and want to train there can come and get some.
He's basically created his own gym, hasn't he, now, really? Because he's got Joe Schilling there permanently, hasn't he, really?
Yeah.
Who was the Mickey Gall? Mickey Gall's the jiu-jitsu guy there. He's got his own team, hasn't he? Really,
I think,
secretly.
You know what's funny about Mickey Gall is he's just lost a bit of. Oh man, I wouldn't be surprised if if Joe Schilling turned around and said something or Cerrone. But did you see that when he fought Diego Sanchez?
Yeah,
he put up that picture because he's like, I weren't going to say this in the fight because I'm not a bitch and I'm a gangster unlike Mickey Gall, but this guy bit me.
Oh yeah.
Imagine that though. Imagine like you're training this guy called Mickey Gall. He's showing you some jiu-jitsu stuff. And you're showing him striking stuff, but you're a badass. And then the guy that this young lad that you've had this high estimation of, got that
frustrated
in a fight that he ended up biting the guy who were fighting. So it's like, you just be like, wow, did you actually bite him? They would have had that conversation, wouldn't they?
But
they'll have had that conversation.
There's a bit of a Diego Sanchez is a Winklejohn. Long term, Jackson Winklejohn and Mickey Gall, obviously. Well, Donald Cerrone obviously used to be coached by Greg Jackson and they had a fallout, didn't they? But Mickey Gall trains with Cerrone, so there's a bit of team rivalry, isn't there?
Yeah, there is,
But then Mickey Gall isn't on the same level as Donald Cerrone and Josh Schilling at stand up, but they're not the same at jiu jitsu, you see. So they can take stuff from each other, But whether it's like, you probably be like, did you? Bite him.
You just be like, did you actually bite him?
Did you? I didn't see it. Did you see it? Can you see it happen in the
fight? No, but you're just like, why? Diego Sanchez not going to lie about that.
No, he wouldn't, would he?
No, he's not going to be like, he bit me. I didn't. Why are you fucking lying? You did look, there's a bite mark. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you bit me. When the going got tough, you were too tired, and I was beating you up, and you bit me. But I didn't say anything to the referee, because I'm not a bitch like you. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh.
I can't believe that
happened.
You know
what I mean?
That's funny, how's that?
And then you've got to go backstage and be like, well, I got my ass handed to me.
Well,
I got that upset about it that I bit the guy. dude, that's a dick move. You know what I mean? It's a bad move, isn't it?
I just feel like I don't know what happened. Only thing I could do was bite him, so that's what I did. Is that within the rule set? I don't know.
Yeah, you could have tapped. This guy's beating me up. I'm out. You know what I mean? But you can't do that.
Don't do that. But yeah, that's funny, actually. The more I think about that, it's really funny.
It's bad,
man. Let's go and train.
Yeah. Thank you, guys, for listening in. And let's go and train. It's a beautiful day. Take care.